little fear of the Department of Homeland Security do illegal immigrants have these days? Incredibly, the news just broke. Franklin Jose Pena Ramos, one of the two suspects who murdered and it appears raped that 12-year-old girl, was wearing an ICE ankle bracelet at the time of his crime. An ankle monitoring bracelet. That's how little fear of the Biden administration and any kind of consequences these people actually have. And it's part of a pattern I've been pointing out on the Battleground America podcast. Incredibly, the 8 ISIS terrorists from Tajikistan who showed up at our border didn't even attempt to sneak over. They turned themselves in to the Border Patrol. So ICE, the Border Patrol, those are all sub-agencies of the Department of Homeland Security, whose one job is to keep us safe from terrorists, as I've been pointing out. That's why it was created. Otherwise, there's no point in having it. It has now become little more than an Uber service for terrorists and criminal child rapists to get where they're going. But anyway, those 8 ISIS terrorists did the same thing, turned themselves over. Why? Because they want the fake work papers. And the work papers are fake. Legally, Biden is breaking the law by giving them to the illegal immigrants. But the ISIS terrorists are so unafraid of being stopped or even really seriously questioned by the Department of Homeland Security, they turn themselves in to get the work papers that they can then use as ID to get driver's licenses, to get on planes, to do whatever they want. So at the time that they caught these two murderers, who likely will be rapists too, we just don't have the toxicology back for this 12-year-old girl. At the time they caught them, they were still in town, but they were raising money to flee back to their native countries. In other words, they were so unconcerned about ICE catching up with them that they did this crime with the monitoring bracelet on, knowing full well they'd be trackable afterward. It didn't even care. Folks, this is why Joe Biden is struggling. But the rest of the Democrat Party, are they struggling? No, says Politico. In an article everyone needs to read, it's called Why Democrats Think Biden's Problem is Biden. And they pointed this out. Democrats keep doing surprisingly well in special elections. The party's most vulnerable Senate incumbents are running ahead of their rivals in key battleground states. One of Democrats' signature issues, reproductive rights, has repeatedly proved a winning message. And yet Joe Biden is struggling to even pull even with Donald Trump. Folks, this is a multi-year pattern going back to 2020. The Democrats were supposed to lose control of Congress in 2022. After all, we had 9% inflation. Republicans, before the vote was even cast, were patting themselves on the back for the landslide they were about to have. Well, we barely took the House and they gained seats in the Senate. With 9% inflation? Yeah, here's why. Because of our idiot messaging. We keep saying over and over and over and over and over, Bidenflation, Bidenflation, Bidenflation. They love that when we do that. No, Biden is implementing Democrat policies. It does not matter what Democrat is the president. The policies and the destruction and the suffering will be the same. But the American people haven't figured that out, largely because we keep telling them the opposite. Biden is soft. That's why the border is a mess. No, those are Democrat open border policies. Biden's not soft on anything. When you lie, and yes, it's a lie if you're a pundit and you say Biden's soft on the border, that means he's like trying. He really hates that this 12-year-old was murdered. He'd really like to fix it, but he's just incompetent. That's not what's going on. Joe Biden and the Democrat Party are rock solid on open borders. That's why the border is open. It's not because Biden's soft. It's not even because of Biden. And so when you look at this Politico article, you can see we have our side through horrific messaging because we have no war room, no centralized messaging. We have convinced the American people of exactly what we set out to convince them of. Joe Biden is a demented degenerate, but everybody else in the Democrat Party's fine. Why? We never talk about them. It's always Joe, 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 Joe. Well, the fastest way to solve that problem is to eject Joe Biden from the driver's seat. And the Democrats know it. That's why Politico is running this article. This article is very dangerous. It runs through Democrat after Democrat after Democrat, all of whom are running ahead of Biden, both in swing states, in purple districts, where we shouldn't have been beaten. And what does it show? If you replace Joe Biden with anybody but Kamala Harris, Trump gets beat. He does. He gets beat. Those are the numbers. And that's because we haven't made the argument. We haven't explained to people these are Democrat policies and it's growing late. So a fascinating thing is about to happen in this debate this week. Joe Biden's entire political future is literally on the line. This weekend, like the last few weeks, they teed up a whole line, a conga line of Democrats saying, if he looks bad, if he falls, you know, down on the stage, if he mumbles incoherently, he's done. They're actually looking for an excuse at this point, something that will let them replace him at the August convention. And believe me, they can do it if they want. The FBI has an entire book on the Biden's crimes. They've documented them exhaustively, not just Joe's, but also the rest of the families. They can tell Biden exactly what to do. And Jill may not like it, but she's going to have to do it. In other words, they can make Biden drop out if they want. Here's from the New York Post. I want you to understand the depth that they have on him. It's from October 2023. More than 40 confidential sources provided criminal information related to the Biden family's activities to the FBI. This went on for more than 15 years, including the period when Joe Biden was vice president. These confidential human sources, the New York Post reports, were managed out of several different FBI field offices and supplied the Bureau with details of potential crimes by Hunter Biden, James Biden, and Joe Biden. Okay, what is this? What are you looking at right here? This is why it had to be Biden, because the FBI has absolute total control over Joe Biden, a complete veto. Yeah, that means Barack Obama and the Democrat Party does too. They have got a novel of the crimes by the Biden family. That is an incredible amount of resources. 40? They managed 40 confidential sources to spy on the Bidens, placed all around the Bidens for 15 years? Yes. The only reason Joe Biden is still on the ballot at this point is because the Democrats are afraid it would cost them to admit his policies are a disaster. They're afraid of the fallout. It's never been done before. They're not sure how to measure it. But could they get rid of him in 5 minutes? Sure. And look, nobody in the Democrat base is going to care one iota if it's not Kamala Harris, who's as unpopular as Joe is, who replaces him. Folks, she finished that primary when she was forced to drop out with less than 2% of the vote. She couldn't even get the black vote. Black people don't give a rip about Kamala. And Democrats, well, you saw them walking around with masks on their faces. They're trying to put the masks back on their faces. They're just waiting to be told what to think and what to do. They don't care. The Democrats could ram a white male to replace Joe Biden right down their throat, and they'd be nodding in unison like drones. None of this is a problem. What they're afraid of is how this will play with independents, if it'll look like an admission that they screwed up. But they're becoming less afraid every day. The one way that Joe Biden stays in power, and there's only one way, he's got to pull it together for this debate. He has got to land punches. It's got to come up at least a draw. Don't forget, folks, their nominating convention's not till August. Politically speaking, that's a lot of time they've got left. And the last time anybody saw Joe Biden, which was back on Thursday, he was mumbling gibberish and had to be led across the lawn physically by Jill Biden. That was after a week where the prime minister of Italy, not once but twice at the G7, had to take him by arm and lead him back. But here's the thing. If you could pull Joe Biden together for 90 minutes, and they're resting him a good 10 days to do it, and you have him really well prepped for the debate, he can win. He is a great debater. He buried Paul Ryan. I thought he won the first debate with Trump last year. The second one, at best, was a draw. He is just really good at rapid-fire lying in such a convincing way that it seems impossible he's not telling you the truth. In other words, he's a classic psychopath. That's one of their gifts, and he's good at it. And now Joe Biden, who's a master debater, he really is going to have to be better than he's ever been. Here's what Red State wrote over the weekend, and they're right. Former CNN talking head Chris Cuomo on Friday, he has a very popular internet show, joined the fray, wondering if and when Joe will bite the campaign dust after the debate. Folks, they have been setting this up on the left for weeks to broom Joe out. Aw, shucks, has to go. Bye-bye. And there'll be a groundswell calling for him to step down. He won't survive it if he doesn't nail this debate, which is why, paradoxically, look, folks, when Trump's about, is going to have to debate, I'm normally in a cold panic, okay? Because he does the same thing he's doing right now. He gaffes off prepping. Trump doesn't like to do that kind of detail work. He'd rather stand under the limelight. He loves the adulation. And so he's in Philadelphia collecting the love and saying, oh yeah, talking to these people is good enough debate prep for me. It's not. They're already telling us Joe Biden's going to come out hard. He's going to come out swinging and he's going to come out fully prepared. That's exactly what he did to Trump the last two times. Trump didn't really have good comebacks. And what he did say ended up being a bunch of rambling mush. Normally, this would terrify me, okay? But I'm actually more afraid right now of something else. Joe Biden losing and losing decisively. That is the last thing we want. In fact, it's crossed my mind more than once that this is why Trump has let us know again and again and again, emphasizing he's not prepping. Why? Trump knows he needs to deliver a good enough performance, but not a knockout performance, or he should know it. In fact, if I were him and Biden started to stumble, I'd be sure to help him up because we need him to be the guy Trump runs against. Trump is historically unpopular. The only thing saving him is so is Biden. Hillary Clinton was historically unpopular. A regular Democrat will re-energize the party. And it's on. We're already seeing how well they're doing in a lot of these special elections. They've got momentum down the ballot because, again, we didn't do our job. And we've convinced the American people that once Joe goes away, the problems go away. Again, we've done this with lazy rhetoric. The go-to line with most pundits, even the good ones, is he's soft, he's incompetent. But what does that say to people? It says, well, Joe Biden's like me. He wants a closed border. He doesn't want ISIS terrorists running around here. He doesn't want 12-year-olds murdered. He's just not competent. We'll just get a more competent Democrat. No, they are not Americans. Not anymore. They hate this country. They want to hurt this country. They try every day to hurt this country. Joe Biden's just the blunt instrument they happen to be accomplishing it with now. We have to begin to explain to Americans this is a Democrat thing. One of the few people on our side who seems to get that a knockout of Joe Biden by Donald Trump would be a disaster is Jesse Waters. He says it's make or break for Biden. He's right.
The Biden camp's feeling the pressure. Politico says there's feelings of disappointment and depression with Biden's biggest fundraisers who watch their cash advantage just vanish. Thursday's make or break for the Joe Biden legacy. If he falls flat on his face, both figuratively and literally, it's a green light for the Democrat switcheroo in Chicago.
Trump's got to know this, too, that he can bloody Joe a little, but Joe's got to bloody him as well. So what is Trump doing? He's telling us over and over and over, I'm not prepping, I'm not prepping, I'm not prepping. Why? Because he's going to deliver an underwhelming performance on purpose. Not a bad performance, but Joe, he's got to be able to get some blood on his knuckles and show he can run for president or they'll replace him. Trump knows that. As far as what Jesse Waters is saying about the Democrat donors being disappointed, they are. Fox News reported that over the weekend. And folks, understand why these donors are so disappointed. They've been told for a year now, look, we got 5 airtight Trump cases. He's going to be convicted at least twice before the convention. He will be sitting in court on election day, on felony charges. And then after that, he's going straight to prison. So they had this all figured out. 4 of those cases miraculously fell apart. So all these donors are they're very upset. Joe Biden to them looks incompetent, not for the way he's running the country. They love that. No, for the way that he's running the lawfare, because 4 of those cases now won't be heard until after the election. But folks, here's the thing nobody's talking about right now. This vice presidential selection is going to be the most important for a presidential campaign in U.S. history because no campaign's ever faced what Trump faces. Think about this. We don't know yet if he's going to prison on the 34 felonies. That sentencing will be announced the week before the RNC convention. Can you imagine? It's actually going to be days before. Here's the other wild card the Democrats aren't talking about yet. And they will. They'll talk a lot about it before the election, but they're not talking about it yet. There's a good reason to keep their powder dry. These other 4 criminal cases, well, they've only been postponed. They're all still active. Theoretically, a Trump Justice Department could get rid of 2 of them because they're federal, but the others, he can't do a thing about. especially not the Fulton County case. Yeah, the prosecutor, who is a criminal herself, is having some problems. They may have to replace her, but it's going forward. Nobody is stopping that train. In fact, we're going to see, if he wins, we are going to see the spectacle of a sitting American president, I kid you not, dragged into court and tried like a common criminal. He still could be sentenced in the 34-count felony case out of New York, too. I mean, there is no guarantee that Trump actually gets to rule from the White House if he wins. There's no guarantee of what kind of hold on his powers he might have from prison, where he might have to govern. Folks, it's about to get wild. We haven't seen anything yet, right? So look at his list of Veep candidates. NBC, CNN, and News Nation are all reporting he's narrowed it down to three. Trump hasn't denied that yet. Who are the three? Doug Burgum, a very liberal Republican who personally went after with his own campaign fundraising conservatives in his state. Marco Rubio, who, don't let him fool you, he talks tough on the border now, but he's one of the original Amnesty Eight, who was very outspoken and very soft on illegal immigrants for many years. He's a darling of the Bush cabal. They would love to slide Rubio into the White House because Trump was, I don't know, off in prison or somewhere. Yeah, and the third person allegedly is J.D. Vance. So whereas before the presidential pick, you know, vice presidential pick was interesting. Look, even Trump has said to get the two terms to make me an 8-year president, who I run with, he's going to be who I'm going to back for president. He's going to pick up the mantle. It'd be great if that was J.D. Vance, right? But here's Trump's other problem. He's got to unite the party. He's got to unite the party, that 20% of limousine liberal Republicans, many of them women. He needs them to vote for him. And so as the Democrats come at him saying he's going to be in prison, they may not be wrong. And so he needs to be able to point to a Rubio who they will like because he's nice and mushy and moderate and say, no, this guy will be the president. But that's a double-edged sword. You use that to get, you know, the Bush cabal, the uniparty, the swamp part of the Republican primary to write you checks because they've got most of the money. If you want to keep up your fundraising, you use it for that. You use it to get their votes. But the double-edged sword part is it makes them more likely to murder you in the night. In other words, they are sharpening their swords going, ah, yeah, we're going to get you in office, bud. And then we're going to dispose of you. We're going to continue because they're working right now. Continue working with the Democrats to make sure you go to prison. So Trump's got two options. He picks a J.D. Vance. That makes it less likely he wins in November because people are truly going to be looking at J.D. Vance as, you know, the guy who will be president. And I'm telling you, suburban women aren't going to like that. It's not going to help him with the limousine liberal Republicans. However, it'll help him protect his back after he's elected, because they're going to be a lot less likely to put him in prison. I think Vance would be worse than Trump. He's a lot more conservative than Trump is from their perspective. Like they'd rather have Trump than Vance. Trust me. Trump tried to do an amnesty with the Democrats to amnesty 2 million illegals. Okay. They know they can work with him. J.D. Vance, not so much. So J.D. Vance is a protection policy, but it doesn't get him over the hump in November. If he checks the box for Burgum or Rubio or even somehow revives Tim Scott, that makes him more likely to assassinate him politically after November. They will go right back to piling on with the Democrats to get him in prison behind the scenes. So this is a Game of Thrones type deal. I mean, this is truly a survival game. There are no good choices for Trump right now, but there are choices. In the meantime, for debate time, I'm pulling for Joe Biden. I definitely don't want a knockout punch, but I do want him to walk away with a little blood on his hands so that the Democrats are in the worst position possible if they want to replace him. So go Joe. And I never thought I'd say that.